Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
afternoon. Show number 1,434. Welcome as we get down and sit down for a couple of bits with the chefs and your loving mad scientist here at Soul Tree Radio in the Bronx. I'm your host, Michael Singerman. As always, it is good to have you with us. Soul Tree Radio in the Bronx, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the assassin of the black athletes, what's up with it all the good shit. So who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia, just came online. Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Charles Jones in Philly. Rick Hampton Sr. in Detroit. Mike Robinson in Oakland, California. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba in Western New York, doing his Oba do. Still enjoying life with his good book, The Art of the Interview, Book 1. Catch it on Amazon. It is a great read. And let's see what else the rest of the brothers have to say. With me right now, Reggie on one end, and the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris-Gray. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Woo-ah-wah, woo-ah-wah.
Yes, sir.
All right, G. So you usually lead off. What's on your mind?
Okay. The men won the gold medal of basketball, right?
Yes.
Didn't think they were going to
do it. These guys are S-H-I-T already.
Oh, God.
Now, when they were over there and they lost the first game of the press, what did they say?
Right.
Oh, these guys are no good. These guys can't play.
Right.
Okay, fine. The USA won 5 straight games. And now they can't talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure they're a little disappointed in that. But you knew
a little
everything. now this here's how far, or I should say how far journalism is degraded. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guy is he's a reporter writing for a quaint metropolitan newspaper. The editor is telling him, we want to write as damning shit as we can.
Yep.
Because he doesn't like these black motherfuckers playing basketball over in Japan.
You know.
And you got copy editors that even after Gary writes some stuff that he feels is balanced and, you know, objective,
mm-hmm.
the copy editors are doing what they can to try to tear it up.
Tear it up. Mm-hmm.
So now the job is complete. The Americans win the gold. So what's the story? The story is, oh, by the way, we won. You know?
Yep.
And the editor will slander too. We were expected to win. Now, this is part
yep.
of the poison process. And the fact that it's come to that should tell you something about what the Fourth Estate is trying to do to the state of the black athlete.
Mm-hmm. My thing, Mike, is that did y'all hear Kevin Durant after the game? You know, he was salty, and I don't blame him.
What did he say?
He said, yeah, we heard all this talk about how, you know, we weren't going to win. We heard all this talk about how we weren't playing together. We heard all
mm-hmm.
that talk. And, you know, Kevin Durant got rabbit ears anyway. But
yep.
I still want to say that what really gets me in the Olympics is that the Africans from all countries, they start this bullshit about us being fucking the minority. When you see France,
mm-hmm.
you see black athletes, the top. When you see
right
Germany,
that.
You see
Germany.
Black athletes. Oh, no, my God. When you see
yeah.
Australia,
mm-hmm.
you see Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
Lord,
yeah,
they give me talking about the Caribbean nations of Cubans,
yeah.
of Cuba,
Randy,
and
okay,
another.
Because this is the first time, this is the Well, I saw Africans playing in Europe, all European countries.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yes, sir.
That's
they
a great
know, they know who the best athlete is. I mean,
well,
Jesse
you know,
Owens ran in front of Hitler. Somebody run under arrest. He ran in front of Hitler.
That's right.
Now we run in front of the whole goddamn world. And we're still under
arrest. That's right. Yep. And again, well, we got Tony and McClain in the mix now. T, we've seen how
T-Mac,
the editors of journals, of papers, magazines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, have been out here hoping that the Americans would fall. You know, they wanted the SWAT to be there. And this is, I think, even worse than the Redeem Team. Because
Michael, what makes this bad is this. What makes this worse is the ladies' dean are playing tonight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this was an ass out for you.
Wait,
Reggie. My girl, Don Taylor,
basically white dean.
They're playing Japan, aren't they?
Promoting this game tonight. And
wait a minute, Gary. Hold up, Gary. Gary, hold up.
Get out of here.
Hold up, Gary. Hold up. Aren't they playing Japan?
Yeah.
It ain't a white team there.
No, what I'm saying is the American team is basically a white team.
The women's basketball team?
You're saying the women's team has predominantly got white players on it, correct?
They got more than they got white players.
I understand what Gary's leaning with this. But hold on a second. Tony, think about this. They did not want the American men to do well from the start. When the Redeem Team came up, the whole presence was, you niggas better go over there and win or else. You know, it wasn't like, oh, our hopes are with the Americans, blah, 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 and whatever hopeful flowery shit would go with that. This was like mandated. But it wasn't mandated with, like, we have unfinished business. It was mandated, like, why are we carrying you motherfuckers? You may as well just go on over there and win. And when they did, they were like, okay, we won. It wasn't like, hooray, we redeemed ourselves. No, they wanted them to lose so that they could open up the even bigger story. That's what I'm doing. Are you feeling this?
I see London. I see France. I see black people kicking people in the underpants. That's basically the theme of this year's Olympics.
I love it. That's
basically the theme for the Tokyo Olympics this year. But now, when they lost a couple of exhibition games, everybody was ready to send the Washington Generals over there to represent the U.S. But see, say it before and I'll say it again. Yes, the rest of the world has gotten better in basketball, but at the end of the day, the best basketball players in the world are black athletes. And oh, by the way, some of those other teams, some of those foreign teams actually have black players on there. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't let melanin get in the way of a good argument, though. You know,
that's right.
That's
really.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
But as for the women, I think it's a 6-5. I think it's a 6-5 split, white versus black. But see, here's the thing. They hype more Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart and Simon Taraji, but you know you got Asia Wilson,
Brittany Griner
over there, as well, Brittany Griner as well.
Yep.
But see, the thing is, give the WNBA credit. They basically, like the NHL is going to do in a couple of years, they took off, they split their season in half. And they said, we're going to make sure our best is over there. We're going to make sure our best coach is over there.
You know who's coaching them, T? You know who's coaching them?
They, they made, because see, Dawn is now the U.S. national coach for,
yeah,
you know, for as long as she wants to, because Gino, Gino basically, you know, I guess maybe he handed him over, but I get the feeling that USA Basketball just wanted to, you know, change things up a little bit as well. But, you know, the funny thing is, I think, not counting the opening ceremonies, I think I've caught about maybe about an hour overall of the Olympics, mm-hmm, because once,
yeah,
they, you know, once they basically pulled out their pitch with their tiki torch for Simone and Miss,
yep,
Richardson and everybody else, I was like, I can't do this. And it was great, of course, to see Miss Allison do her thing as well.
Yes,
and,
35
and,
years
and,
old,
and,
still smoking.
Can we give it up for the Jamaican ladies relay team as well?
Listen,
yes, sir.
The Irish speed queens from JA have been whooping ass for years. Every time they come down to the podium.
Let me do one quick self-promotion. If you go to our Facebook page, still at Full Sports, you've got to hear the Jamaican play-by-play of the run. It's hilarious. Words can't even describe it. You've got to watch.
It's like Andreas Kanter saying goal. Yeah, like the Irish.
Oh, man.
It's hilarious.
But it's great. But see, the sad thing is, from the Olympic, you know, at the risk of sounding like, you know, the old man in the mountains at the barbershop, you know, the Olympics is not what we all grew up to be now. It is a propaganda thing. It is all about this fake flag waving and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically if y'all Negroes, you know, don't beat up the snuff, don't even bother to come back home. Well,
that's
Simone came back home. They had a parade for her in her honor as well. So, look, end of the day, these athletes know who their true friends are. Whenever something like this happens, you find out who your true friends are. And oh, by the way, she added another medal to her
and the score was very suggestive about that bronze, because a lot of people said that she got undercutted with the judges.
Well, here's the thing. They had their tiki torches out waiting. They were, you know, even if she had tried to play through the pain mentally and physically, so to speak, they were ready to bring her down.
Call the Wheaties boxes as we speak. They better get them Wheaties boxes out there.
The NBC networks probably did a gazillion hours of coverage. I wonder if the name was even mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was even mentioned at all. I bet a year's pay that it probably wasn't.
Yeah,
hey,
you know,
how about that so-called tennis player? How about that tennis player that had a meltdown that went after our girl, and they very little coverage of that? I wonder why.
Mike, what do you say, Mike? Karma may be late, but she's never missed a
appointment. I got to say this, because Djokovic, whether he will admit to saying it or not, whether the mouse has confirmed that he said these things, they put that out there for the express purpose of demeaning Simone.
True.
And that's why.
Literally and figuratively, it was the power
so
of
the fact. So he did what he did, and he fucked up. Everybody knew shit had come around, because they were trying to smash it. Facebook even tried to stop us from saying this. I'm not joking when I say this. And so-called political fact, like, well, that maybe isn't true, and Snopes came out. I'm like, fuck all of y'all. This is one of those issues where if you don't put a stop to it all, it will continue. And we did it. We snuffed it and said, fuck it. And Djokovic, true to who he is, he fucked up. See, when he had his little tantrum, he looked like Nakamura, he looked like Mustafi, all the assholes who do this shit because they're white and they think they can just get away with whatever the fuck they want. And it's backfired on his ass.
Yeah. And see,
calm as a bitch.
And the thing is, it, you know, look, this Olympics already had, you know, the black eye of COVID and whatever. Now mm-hmm. this way, I will give them I'll give them this much credit.
Mm-hmm.
They got it, you know, they got it done, so to speak. They did get it done. So you give them
for that TV money.
Also, you got to remember, as much as we, you know, want to make it out that this was NBC putting the gun to their nuts, their reputation was on the line just as much because their whole thing, you know, they basically turned to Roger Goodell saying we will have an Olympics this year. Now they didn't.
They copied the same formula.
Hey, T, they had a couple of 100,000 seats disguised as people, but they made sure them bitches went on.
But you know what? They at least didn't try to force it down folks. Because see, the lasting damage is going to be how the rest of the year plays out there, because there are still people. There's still people dying out there. The variant is probably worse there than it is here. Although, you see the
numbers. Keep bringing that shit back to the state.
That's the thing. Now, the one thing we need to follow up this year when the NBA season resumes. How many of these guys? Not so much COVID. Well, that too. But how? I'm willing to bet you that all of those guys on that team are going to miss at least 10, 15 games this year. I'm willing to bet you that right now.
Oh yeah.
And Kevin Garnett just signed a $200 million contract. What kind of pressure they gonna put on his ass to get out there and play?
Well, look, he's already proven that he is for the most, you know, unflappable. You know, the only time he's ever been slowed down is been injury. That's all. But when he's healthy, he's one of the five best players in the world, and that's undeniable.
True.
Still got people beating them up for going to the Warriors. Like, you know, after they lost to France, they had a meme going, you know, Kevin Durant is going to sign with France. They never let up. Guys, I said it before, I'll say it again.
It is time to stop playing the game. I mean, it is. You act stupid, okay, fine. You act stupid, I ain't playing. That's exactly what I have to go down to. Because Kevin Durant and did what he's supposed to do, right? That wasn't enough.
Just remember what they did to Kevin Durant. Okay, he comes into the league.
That's right.
He showed his skill. When they moved down to Oklahoma City, he's comfortable with the franchise. He's doing things for the franchise. Out of his own will, because Oklahoma City, for whatever reason, suited him and the way he grew up where he grew up. Of course, then there was the hurricane, tornado, whatever you want to call it. On fucking level, Durant donates $1 million of his own money. Like he was ordering a welfare suit on it. He just did it. And all of a sudden, he was, you know, one of their favorite sons. And then comes Golden State, everything that goes with it. You know, Oklahoma City and Thunder Suns, and he got a loaded team.
that mentally we're not ready for Golden State's onslaught, and Durant decides to lose. Now, in between all of this, there's a marketing campaign that somebody wants to initiate where Kevin Durant is going to be called the Slim Reaper.
Okay, actually, yeah, that's your thing.
Kevin was basically like, fuck y'all, stop that. That's not me. And I don't blame him. You know, if you want to
campaign
with me, come on, asking me first. And after he does this, all of a sudden the stories start to snap to the negative. Now, it could have been just anything, man bites dog or whatever. If Kevin Durant bit the dog, we want to make sure everybody knows about it. And they have gone consistently after him. And then that bitch-ass Stephen A. Smith has the nerve to put his
that
in the shit and tell Kevin Durant, I will destroy you. You know, like he is like the head nigga in charge. But when Joe Paterno's son came out about those boys being molested in Penn State, he was sucking on his dick so hard and so long, he could barely ask the questions to him. So fuck you, Stephen A. And fuck all these motherfuckers that do this sort of thing.
Hey,
this is
Mike, when the mamas got involved, boy, Shaquille O'Neal and Durant mama got up in his ass, you saw Stephen A. like a little bitch stand there.
Well,
he's being
what he is. And I'm consistent on this because I don't mind if you got to put
man.
I don't mind if you have to put your foot up somebody's ass. You know, if it's got something to do with sports and all that shit, yes. Say when somebody's not doing well. Say when somebody's wrong. Say if somebody fucks up, you fucked up. But don't come in there and say that I will control your life like you're that white boy in The Natural who told Roy Hobbs that he can't play or he'll have to play our way. No. Fuck you, Steven, and fuck anybody else
and
who wants to be that way, white or black.
And see, we're in a society now where, and I just use this as a perfect example. I was talking with I guess you could call him a friend, I guess. And we were talking about, you know, with the Mets. No, the Mets acquiring Javi Baez. Now, he's a Cubs fan, and he did not like Javi Baez. He said, you wait. You'll hate him in 2 days. I'm like, wait a minute.
Jesus.
I said, wait a minute. The guy, you know, guy's a consistent all-star. He's arguably one of the best shortstops in the league. Helped y'all break the curse. I mean, you know.
What's the problem?
My thing is, say you don't like him, but please don't tell me he can't play. That's the problem.
That's right. That's
the problem because, see, they will, you know, when they make the argument personal, they will try to tell you.
You lose all credibility.
Look, if I don't, you know, I make it very clear on, you know, if I don't like a certain guy, I'll say I don't like him, whatever. But his game, you have to respect the game. That's the whole problem a lot of times with a lot of these arguments. Instead of saying, see, you should always premise everything saying, well, I don't like him as a person, but his game is
awesome.
But see, that's the problem with so many of these conversations and what have you now. They don't, you know, you can't even call it a bully pulpit anymore. It's worse than that. It's worse than that because the one thing that they go after them for, it's never about the way they play the game. Now, again, if you don't like LeBron, if you don't like Jordan, if you don't like guys or whatever, that's fine. That's a you problem. But don't try to tell me that a certain guy can't play just because you don't like him. And that becomes, and unfortunately, a lot of the argument. Because, see,
he's made it the norm.
Exactly. Yeah. And, see, everything becomes confrontational, and then you get, you know, and I don't know why this is considered, quote-unquote, good TV when you got four or five talking heads literally screaming at each other. I mean, like, I get a better, you know, I get a better conversation going to my old high school games, seeing my buddies from school. We have a better conversation.
There you go.
Talking about games than we were than these idiots. And these are supposed to be learned journalists. Man, please.
Mm-hmm.
Until the people in power,
mm-hmm.
people are the owners, the directors, the producers, all those guys
mm-hmm.
become human beings and not profit-making machines, this will continue. What I mean is this. If I'm the executive of ABC, and I want money to come into ABC, I'm gonna do everything in my power to make conflict. Why? Right. Because Americans love conflict.
Well, yes and no, Gary. Because see, again, I go back to during the pandemic when there was no sports. And when sports slowly came back, it wasn't like everybody, you know, knocked each other down to start watching games again. The pandemic proved that people can live without sports. And it's reflective,
right.
it's reflective in the ratings, with the exception of the NFL. But even the NFL's numbers were a bit skewed because they wanted – because they're pushing all the they're basically pushing product because they're on basically every network except the Food Channel. So they're mm-hmm. gonna get, you know, when, you know, if you fudge the numbers a little bit, you're gonna whatever. But see, I think we gotta give the lay sports fan a little bit more credit than we've been given, especially over the last year or so, because it used to be back in the day, you know, if you give them shit, they'll watch it anyway. Not anymore.
Right.
And it's from a lot of different. I mean, you know, the baseball, the World Series ratings last year, not good.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA this year, they, you know, peeled back a bit. Hockey, you know, got a little bit of a surge, and you know, a lot of it. You know, I think a lot of it just had to do with timing because I think people were ready to slowly embrace sports back again. Now, they're already, you know, if you caught even a glimpse of the Hall of Fame game the other night, they are already beating you down with the NFL and how this, you know, biggest season ever because of the
That's
17 games in 18 weeks. But see, the thing is, more is not better. It's interesting because with all the COVID protocols so far, and the NFL has already said, you know, we ain't pushing back games this year like we did last year. So it's going to be interesting to see if they still try to push that team in South Florida down everybody's throats again. I think people are not having it. To be honest with you, on a football level, to me, they're not even the most intriguing team in Florida. The most intriguing team in Florida, to me, are the Dolphins.
I'm
anxious to see what the Dolphins are going to do this year.
The Dolphins got some flavor.
It looks like they finally have said, okay, Tua, we're not gonna have Colin McFerguson backing you up. That's Washington's problem now. But you're our guy. You're our guy. So roll with it. And they're an intriguing team. There's so many other intriguing stories, but they're gonna basically force Giselle's husband down our throat again.
Bender 12 gets injured the first 2 weeks. Because if Bender 12 gets injured the first 2 weeks, they got a problem.
They're going to make sure he plays at least week two because that's his return home.
I know.
They're not really gunning for him as much as the spotlight is on him. And we know Father Time is going to eventually put a foot in that ass.
That's right.
Brady's not going to be able to play that well, but one thing you're right about, Tony, is that the hunger is still there. The CFL started their season after missing all of last season, and they had 29,000 people in Winnipeg. Now, that may not sound like a lot to folks, but for what the CFL does, that's very important, and the
Absolutely.
Games are going on as they state, and now
and they had a nice crowd in Saskatchewan last night, too, as well.
Yes, exactly. So now the vibe is there. So Canadian football is starting to get back on code. College football is in another couple of weeks. Of course, the NFL is sniffing at everybody's doors, which means the gambling bug will get you if you don't watch out. And you better believe that's exactly what Pete Rozelle and those motherfuckers at the NCAA are hoping for, that it will bite you in the ass. And you will take it to the pay window and spend. Because forget this chip, written shit that they're trying to impress upon you. Ain't no Newt Rockney or George Gipp or any of this other horse shit going on. These motherfuckers are out here to make money. The only difference is now some of the de facto employees might get a little bit. And believe me, when I say a little bit, I mean a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
A few pennies here and a few pennies there won't change the fact that towns like Columbus, Ohio, and Nashville, Tennessee, or Knoxville, Tennessee, where the University of Tennessee's home field is, will be raking in the coin because that's what they need. That is part of their cash infusion. That's how their city runs off of an amateur football team, or at least a professional team that's not getting paid what it should be paid. But I digress. This is the beginning of it all. And this is what they have to regulate with the same alacrity that Commissioner Goodell did when he made his gambit on making sure that $10 billion paid in the contract was filled to the max with the National Football League.
Yeah. And again, as he has said, we will have full houses this year. He all but took Khrushchev's old shoe and banged it on the during the offseason. Basically, said, you know,
even Khrushchev said, "Fuck that, I'm gonna go back." Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Well, that means, you know, and just to show you just how crazy it is. Now, I'm one to buy either like the Sporting News yearbook or Pro Football Weekly's yearbook, When I go to the newsstands now, all the football books are freaking fantasy football. I mean, look,
right.
I know it's whatever, but I'm sorry. For us that actually watch the game and
mm-hmm.
don't want nothing to do with fantasy football, you know,
mm-hmm.
can we, you know, does the Sporting News or Pro Football Weekly do a yearbook anymore?
Yeah.
I've gone to like Barnes and Noble and
yep.
other places that I know that I can't find any of it. And it's like we're already into the preseason now. They're usually out by now.
You have to look at this, guys. Guys, you have to look at this the same way you would look at it if you were a horse player. Those books are now tout sheets. Fantasy football is. All those things are tout sheets. They're speculating. You know, at least with a racing form, you can see horse A has run this far, has won this many races, is in whatever shape, ran whatever distance. But you're not getting that now from football. You're not getting the sense that, well, you know, so-and-so, I want to see how this guy does playing this position. They've changed all that. Now it's the collective because it's the team that must win. And they don't care who the face of that team is. All they know is, okay, it's Ohio State. We expect them to win X number of games. SEC, we expect Alabama to win X number of games. And they really don't care about it unless the kid who's playing a certain position emerges as a potential star. But the main thing is the cash must flow and the team must not lose. Because if the team loses, the cash will flow, all right, it'll hemorrhage. outside the artery of their bank accounts because the high stakes are even higher now.
I mean, thank goodness that Phil Steele still puts out his football thing. Now he number crunches as well, but he's still giving you information about the team.
Right.
You know, he does, you know, when he does, you know, he looks back on schedules from five, you know, he looks back on team trends 5 years, you know, in the last five years. He looks back at all the bowl games and what have you, strengths of schedule. So, now, see, yes, that could be considered, quote-unquote, gambling information as well. But, again, for the gang of 12 of us that don't gamble and actually watch the damn game because we just like football, it's a turnoff. And let's be honest, you know, in a lot of instances, the NFL can be unwatchable at times. You know, when you got these teams that want to throw the ball 40, 50, 60, 80 times a game, it gets, gets boring. It's just not there. I mean, it's still one of the reasons why I still like to see guys like John Henry down in Tennessee. I know his name is – I know it ain't John Henry, but he's about the closest thing to John Henry in Cleats.
That's right.
That we
can
see.
I give him props. That's right.
Even Zeke, when he stays away from Krispy Kreme during the last season, he's still compelling to watch. It's still about running the ball, even especially if you're a cold weather team. You know, now Philly's going to be interesting this year because Jalen Hurts gets the playbook from day one. And he's going to have a whole offseason and a whole preseason to whatever, and they're going to tailor to his. One would think they're going to tailor to his strength.
Yes.
And you know, hey, getting the Heisman Trophy winner is that's a good start. You know, the defense is still, you know, a little bit to be desired.
Right.
Yeah, but let's be honest.
Look,
9-7. 9-7 probably wins the East this year, don't you think?
Well, don't you think 9-8? They really got to play that extra
game. Oh, that's right. I forgot.
And that makes a big difference. A team can't declare a Pyrrhic victory if they go 8-8. They must go 8-9, or they must go 9-8. And there will be clear differences in their approach toward their future, knowing that now their potentials for wins are a slant.
And Lord help you if you have a tie this year, because you'd have messed up Aaron. You'd have messed up if you're tied at this point in time right now. So, but
this
changes
everything.
There's a lot of intriguing stories with the NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the college level, because this is the last year before the ceiling gets lifted. Now, well, it's already
right. You're right.
But you know what? I take it back just a little bit because again, the biggest thing this year, at least early on, is the NIL factor, and that's going to be even more of a factor, I think, next year. Because you'll have a whole off season, you'll have a whole new whatever. Because see, the NCAA is not going to go quietly into that good night. They're too damn quiet. I'm more worried about them
working
being
on the counter. You're right.
Yes,
they're working on the counter.
They're too quiet.
We know. It's not enough
quiet
for them to say to folks what you want, and then you get told what you want, and they say, okay, but. After that, they're thinking, how can we change this shit up so niggas can do anything?
But I'm glad you brought that up.
Good.
Because last week, the Big 12 and the Pac 12 had a powwow. All right?
Uh-oh.
Now, if the Big 12 and the Pac 12 merged, what do you have?
The Big 24?
okay.
The Big 24.
That's what I heard. That's
That sounds like something on the McDonald's menu from about 20 years ago.
Now, is Gary, is that with or without cheese and a Diet Coke? That's all.
Is that Fat Boy Jason Woodlock trying to get a Diet Coke as he ordered a slab of ribs? You know, I mean, come on, give me a word. But what really disturbs me is that not only when it comes to the NCAA, the foul treatment, these are 1 year fucking contracts, and every time a new coach comes in there, they are the ones that are shitting on,
Reggie, I must ask my semi-weekly question. Has Dabo left Clemson yet?
But what about our boy down in Jacksonville, Florida? He's upset because he can't spend time with his players. Oh, by the way, they got fucking families, idiot. This ain't the damn college.
Let's go back to Mr. Swinney. Right? This motherfucker has yet to keep his word. And if you can't keep your word, how can you lead people? So, hey, you said you were going to leave. Get the fuck out. But, you know, you got 11 million reasons to want to stay. So, you see, the hypocrisy is strong with this one. And we know it. We knew that motherfucker wasn't leaving. But nobody's put his feet to the fire. And see, is why they should put his feet to the fire. You can't talk out of both sides of your neck. You know, he should be held accountable for the shit he said. Make him eat. Crow, I don't give a fuck what wine you serve it with, red Kool-Aid, great Kool-Aid, whatever the fuck. But he should
Mike, for the lies that he's told, I'm mandating Flavor Aid black cherry.
He'd be fuckering up every day. He'd wake up in the morning. Then let's be fuckering more.
I want him to be reminded of his of his misdeeds every day. You know that case will never. He's gonna have to buy a new tongue before he gets the taste out of his mouth.
Hey, T, get by me a BET hell. When my man say, "Welcome to hell, motherfuckers."
Or either Clemson, South Carolina. We can't tell the difference. So, you know, either one.
Yeah, really.
Well, Gary said it's significant. So now you got other conferences trying to put it together and say, how can we maximize our situation? Now, Big 12, Pac-12, they don't seem that important if you weigh them against the ACC and the SEC. But we know the five families.
Don't forget. We know
that the five families are all collectively doing shit. Now, this is the first time you get the impression that they're working separate amongst each other. So, you know, this is not going to be a case of Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. All these motherfuckers are trying to buy the whole fish market. So they're not worrying about this. It's just who gets a bigger piece of what. Now, in 2025, if somehow Texas and Oklahoma roll to the SEC, they will be, like the morning cartoon used to say, Centurions, power extreme. They will be loaded for fucking bear.
Yeah.
If somehow the Big 12 and the Pac-12 decide to become the Big 24 or whatever, they're going to do what they can to protect their turf. And Notre Dame is the wild card because they're just that hold on sleep with anybody.
We all know Notre Dame is going to the MEAC. Let's just get that all out the way.
We just had a power surge down in Louisiana. Our numbers just spiked in Louisiana.
I'm telling you. You know?
Notre Dame
is that bitch that will sleep with anybody for money, and then after it's all done, she'll say, I'm not a slut. I'm just popular. And that's exactly what this is.
And then she'll swallow afterwards.
She's like that green woman in the Star Trek episode.
See?
Yeah.
Well, Kirk's
can be anything. Green,
you know,
purple, green. He don't care.
There's hoeing, and then there's shameless hoeing. And Captain Kirk is a shameless hoe with a capital S.
That's right. Shameless hoe. He was once asked if there's sex on other planets, and he said, "Why you think he was beaming down all the motherfucking time? You damn right there was sex on other planets."
Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear them in the background, yo.
Exactly. Yeah, once you go green, that shit is mean. So we knew he was having sex in a planetary sex. But, you know, we come back to where we are with this shit, and we know there's literally an arms race. You know, if the Pac-12 and Big 12 decide that they got to do that, you know, there's stuff that comes with it. TV people, they're just waiting to see what happens.
The Pac-12 and Big 12, you look at where the Pac-12 is. It's Washington.
Yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah.
And you're going to go by 3 hours. You're going to by 3 hours.
That Kansas State, Oregon State, boy, the mileage on that shit is ridiculous.
You know,
but,
and that's another thing. That's another thing. Hold on, if we're talking perks, if a team is playing in a Division I program like that, all of those athletes should earn those miles. Those miles should be theirs. So that would facilitate the possibility of vouchers utilized when they want to travel to go home or see a loved one or whatever. Now, that's doable. And the airlines, they shouldn't have shit to say about it because you're carrying at the very least 70 to 80 athletes from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Put it this way. If they are serious about doing this, well, actually, it would be the Pac. It would be the Pac 22 because remember they're gonna be, you know, the Big 12 has already lost two, so they're only gonna have 10, so it's gonna be 22.
That's true.
You know, and
that's
But if they're doing this right, then they probably have already talked to say, what's the logistics of those trips to so-and-so and such and such, and in a sense, it's already been done. When the AACCBB conference began here with UConn, you know, they were going to Houston and Wichita State and all these. I mean, you know.
That's right.
And now again, I just threw out Kansas State and Oregon State because those are the first schools I'm thinking – who the hell is going to make that trip from, Manhattan to Corvallis?
Kansas. Yeah.
Man,
that's nice.
Wait. You already got Great Blue Jays in the Big East.
They're in the Missouri, aren't they?
It's Nebraska.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're right. I'm thinking of another school. Forgive me.
In the middle of winter, you're going back to the Big East. Get out of here.
Dave Gabbett must be rolling in his grave saying, "What in the entire
That's another reason why you vouch for literally this happening, because if those miles accredited to the kids, it may not fulfill in a season, but maybe in a second season, a kid will have enough miles where he can fly home to see his mama or fly home to see his girlfriend. And it ain't costing them shit because it's the same program that they would initiate to anybody else flying their fucking airline. So that's doable. You know, we don't even have to worry about whether that's going to be a chore. But still, they want to make it a chore because, well, then you got to admit that you're losing control. Because before they could say or do whatever they want. Remember that video or that audio that I played on Wednesday about this cracker-ass cracker telling these kids, shut the fuck up. I'm the baddest motherfucker. I will control your lives. You'll do it. Now, we know we've heard this talk before, and we know that most of the motherfuckers that said it were some insignificant white piece of shit who got over only because he had the chance, as Eric said, to buck break certain people on the team and carry this his way. And if he's winning, of course, well, we're happy with him because he's doing exactly what we want him to do. If he's losing, somehow he's going to try to make it the athlete's fault and then act like a fucking sadist to some of these kids.
And see, and Mike, we can already see, because look, to me, those kids, what that guy was basically Dabo Sweeney behind
Mike
closed
Woodbury.
Doors.
Yeah, Mike Woodbury was his fucking name. Piece of shit.
Now, on the other side, there's Gene Chizik. Now, I know everybody is saying, Gene Chizik was the head coach. Gene Chizik was the head coach of Auburn when a certain kid from, when a certain quarterback was there and he won the Heisman. And they won the national championship. I think it was. I can't remember his name completely. But after Cam took a pay cut to go to the Carolina Panthers, all of a sudden he had to coach. All of a sudden, what did it last? 2 years after that championship. Because it was like seven and five ain't gonna cut it, Gene. Sorry.
That's right. So then you
to me, like I said, Mike, the silence from the NCAA is scary because you know that they're sitting up like in that Simpsons episode up in the Republican Party headquarters and they're remember the line in a Soldier Story? Ooh, the niggas are taking over and they're coming.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And niggas are coming to get your ass. Yes. But you know, with this big money at stake, and I'm not joking, man. I'm not trying to minimize it because it's going to be the factor. The referees are going to star in a motion picture called The Silence of the Scam. Because you know there's going to be some fucking scandals when this amount of money is involved. We're talking a mythical playoff. Now, we knew when it was supposedly only four teams, $17 million per team who makes it is at the starting point. Forget about TV money and all the other stuff, the accoutrements and everything else. They'll get the players' fucking T-shirts and they'll take home the rest of this money. That's why what that man said about Terrell Pryor in Ohio State is so important. Get that nigga down there. We need that nigga because we got to make money, damn it. And didn't they close up? And didn't he go down? And didn't he go down?
Mm-hmm.
That's my case.
Michael, this year, I looked at some of the TV.
Tom Brady on line two, guys. Tom Brady on line two for the NFL PA.
Send that shit to voicemail. I want to hear what
the
motherfucker got to say.
The bowl games. See, they cut the bowl games in half, almost a half. Right?
Mm-hmm. So now they're down to a paltry 36.
At that point, 2 years ago, it was 38 games.
That's right, Gary. They had so many
bowl games.
They had so many bowl games.
72 teams. Right. There are only 210 teams in the NCAA. Come on, man.
it's 120 in the in Division One Double in Division One A.
That's right.
It got to the point where you had 7 and 7 teams. You had four teams under 500 playing both.
Look, my high school that year that you had like Mississippi State 5 and 7 versus somebody 4 and 6. Now my old high school went 8 and 2 that year, didn't get shit.
See, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
I'd rather see them play. A whole bunch of times. But see, Mike, let me be. You know, I very rarely do the devil's advocate thing, but.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think has a better chance of being touched this year? A college football referee or a National Fall League referee?
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking about that as I was watching highlights of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So here's my answer. My answer is a CFL referee because CFL referees don't get money-wise, jack. And that's even with the transfer from American to Canadian cash. So I would say that a CFL referee would be the most likely to think about the clause. But I will tell you, for college purposes, that a college referee, to answer the question, a college referee would be most likely to take the cash. That's why I said silence of the scams. Because... Mm-hmm. You know, in Texas, where football is religion, Friday night the high school kids play, Saturday night the university plays, and Sunday the motherfucking
and then allegedly the pros play on Sunday, but that's a whole other story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yes, I can see that. Listen, don't think this is something we're just pulling out of our ass here. FIFA has had problems for years as referees who were sanctioned by them were involved in scandal after scandal because the money was just too attractive to ignore. So maybe one time the offside flag doesn't go up and that goal goes in, nobody has nothing to say because there's a table over me. Even across the world, there's tables that need to be met.
Every half hour on sports channels, FanDuel and DraftKings has a commercial every half hour.
Well, see, that's the reason why I brought up the NFL because let's face it, yes, there's a little bit more coin to be involved in the college games this year now. You know, there's that extra added, you know, whatever. But see, that money has also been there for years, even more so in the NFL. And also, remember, this is the quote-unquote biggest year ever because of more games, more exposure, and all that other stuff. It's going to be interesting because see. The real thing is, when is the first major? It's not even a thing of if now, but when is the first major scandal going to come up?
And yes,
Mike makes a great point in the CFL because, you know, they're at this point in time right now, folks is just happy to see fall again in that area. So a guy, literally, you could look the other way. If somebody from the Red Blacks keeps his foot in bounds, then you just say, nah, he didn't get it in bounds.
CFL, the CFL is older than the National Football League. They're the oldest football league in North America. And for years, they have upheld their tradition, and we've watched it, and we've enjoyed it. And we saw black players eventually get their proper due. You know, Chuck Healy, all those things came with him.
Hey, Mike, it's strangely, Mike, how some people said that the little Pittsburgh from Boston College is the greatest CFL player, Lamar Doug Flutie.
That's the in-house horse shit. Yeah, that's the in-house horse shit. But the bottom line is, you know, Doug Flutie wasn't a bad player. He was just one that had all the hype. Listen, Damon Allen whooped his ass every time they went head up against each other. So he didn't get in line for all of that shit. For somebody who was as great as he was, they don't say anything about Damon Allen. And Damon Allen is an amazing athlete. I got to see him up close and personal. And I'm proud of what that brother did. And he's only run for 2,000 yards less than his brother. And that wasn't even his position. But Damon Allen beat Doug Flutie head up every time they met each other. So that story should be a wrap, but they won't do that. And, of course, we know about Warren Moon and Fox and Fuck the Great titles. And I don't give a fuck, as the professor would say, if it was Tiddly Mink. Five in a row. So Unitas, Brady, Bradshaw, all the rest of you motherfuckers, step off. Nobody has more consecutive championships than Warren Moon. But I digress. Mm-hmm. Having said that, ultimately, what we're talking about now is a different factor. As I'm going to get back into college football, because now it is your travelability. If you have the ability to travel, that means money for your town. And when I say town, I mean town. You know, say the University of Tennessee is the perfect example of what we're talking about. There's 104,000 motherfuckers in them checkerboards on game day. They live and die with the school. Now, if Tennessee is 6-6, you know they're going to go somewhere. And they know they're going to go. They will mobilize those volunteer fans to go to that bowl game, even if it's a lesser bowl, even if it's only a $1 million ticket or another check given at the end of the game. They will go. Now, if it's an 11-1 team, they know they're getting paid. Mm-hmm. They really got to go there.
Look, too, I remember about 10 or 15 years ago, UCLA played Tennessee in a regular game in California, and they had damn near 30,000 Tennessee fans out there.
That revenue goes to the city. They know they got to go. So when you
come up and play University of Virginia, they had the damn. You thought the President of the United States was coming in, man, with the damn police escort they had for the caravan. I couldn't believe it.
That's right.
And that wasn't the football team. That was the RVs and the caravan from Auburn that came.
And those two schools you just mentioned, Utah and UT. Now, before the Titans moved in there, and with humble apologies to the World Football League and the USFL.
Yeah.
In both instances, those were the two pro teams in town.
That's right.
At least football wise. And it's something about Kyle, because even during the time that I was working for Winston, one of our best road trips was going to the last Pioneer Bowl that they played at the old Georgia Dome. We had a cab, we left this was late. The game was Saturday. It was the game after the old Heritage Bowl. I know you may remember that. But we left Friday afternoon, got there Friday night, wind up getting there in time to go to a little jazz club in the middle of nowhere in downtown Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Game didn't start until like 4 o'clock on Saturday. So, you get a chance to sleep in. Get yourself a big ass breakfast or a big ass brunch, depending on what time you get up. You go to the game, and the game was pretty much over by say 7:30. So I still left you time to go to the nightlife in Atlanta on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we left Sunday morning. Stopped off at the mall for the ladies. So they could, so they could get their shopping gene on. But yeah, that's a road trip, and this is about
serious road trip.
About 60, 70 folks, counting the
broadcasters. And now you're talking.
And all of them.
Yes, now you're talking where this thing is really at, because if you're talking about games coming out of a hub like Atlanta, then you know there's money that's going to be spent and there's money that's going to be made. Now, from an HBCU standpoint, you're talking about three or four schools in the area. If you're going to talk about New Orleans, you're talking about another three or four schools in the area and maybe a couple that may be insignificant by standard, but you got schools like Tulane there that are right there in New Orleans, and that's another issue. But ultimately, it will be about location, 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 and can you travel? When Temple, and I made this example earlier in another show, when the Temple Owls were upgrading their program, they were playing better ball. They had played well enough to earn bowl rights to go to a game. But nobody wants to go to a game where one of the schools is a commuter school because there's nobody who's going to travel. Not in comparison. Like Reggie said, 30,000 people will go even if UT is 4-7 and they go to a bowl. They'll go. That's their team. But Temple, that ain't happening. Nobody wants to come to Philly to a stadium that
let's look at the Celebration Bowl. Hell, you go down to Georgia, the Dome in Atlanta, Georgia, where the Falcons play, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have the European schools drop 75, 80 in there for a regular season game. We got the grand end amount of highlight about HBCUs, and we barely get 25,000, 26,000. I mean,
that's right. This is where they fucked up. They should have made the Whitney Young Classic a bowl game. The location.
I mean, they would have turned out up in New York, man. Good God.
Listen.
Up there in New York, man. Jersey.
Oh, my God. They guaranteed at least 45,000. I've been there to a couple of games. Tony, Patrick, we've all been there. And if they had been taking big picture, the Meadowlands would have been a perfect location for a so-called Black College Championship or Black College Final Four game.
Have it outside in the cold. And then have it out there and tell the big man to be inside. But it's crazy why it might not have been cold.
Yeah. But the location is perfect. They dropped the ball on it. And now they're going to have to find a new way to do this. You know, Virginia State, Virginia Union will have to find a way to get Southwest Airlines on as a sponsor. You know, there has to be thinking out of the box. The so-called revenge of the nerds mentality that just permeated throughout all of the black conferences has diminished and has compromised the teams. How can they make money if there's no new thinking? And with this aspect of being able to sign players and stuff and do all the things that need to be done, forget about whatever Coach Sanders is saying that you may consider bluster. He's bringing attention to something that needs to be taken advantage of. And although he is right about respecting him, Coach Prime, Coach Sanders, Coach, that should be his standing, and I got no problem with that. But if you're going to do this, y'all got to follow him and see what this leads, because you have no other recourse otherwise. It's not doing you any good to get any publicity elsewhere, because you're not getting any publicity elsewhere. At least Coach Prime is lighting the spark. And sometimes a spark will make a blaze come about. And sometimes it might spark out. So now Go ahead, T.
You do get the feeling that the SWAC gets it, because, see, look.
Yes.
Logistically now, They have basically put the, you know, they have basically drawn a line in the sand, you know, Texas, Louisiana, I'm forgetting, Arkansas, Georgia, and now they got the two most prominent team from Florida, HBCUY.
Yep.
So they're ready for bear.
How many schools in Mississippi? One or two?
Three. Two that I know of. three. That's right.
Alcorn,
Jackson, Alcorn, and Mississippi Valley State.
Alcorn,
so yeah, so they got Mississippi.
State.
No.
So
yeah,
three
yeah.
schools in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Three schools
yeah.
in Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and look,
so
as poor as Mississippi is, they ain't really trying to cultivate that.
No,
but see,
exactly.
got, but see, you know, Mississippi, you know, let's be honest, we got a lot of good players that come out of Mississippi too.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
Look, everybody can't go to Ole Miss and everybody can't go to State. So, and see, to be quite
yeah.
and to be quite honest, those three schools we just mentioned, their football heritage to me speaks a hell of a lot louder than Ole Miss and State.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. So now
they're gonna get over because they're SEC. They're gonna get over. See, what they've been able to get over the years is that they're SEC. And see, even the worst SEC team or the middle of the road SEC team, their payroll just for football is going to be more than some
yes.
SEC conferences. And
yes.
that is therein. And therein lies the problem. Mm-hmm. Because see, the thing that makes it great with SWAC is that they're already natural rivalries. See, this is where the old traditions of the weekly classics have helped them because
right.
it's nothing for Florida. It's nothing for FAMU to be playing Southern. It's nothing
That's
for
right.
Beach for Bethune to play Grambling or Alcorn. Because they've had
mm-hmm.
that naturally, that they've had that HBCU built-in rivalry for years, and that's why,
yep.
that's why it's going to work. That's why
mm-hmm.
the MEAC literally has their work cut out for them because they've lost their traditional guys, and for them to sort of really sustain it, they're going to
yeah,
have to,
wrong.
You know,
yeah.
well, they're going to have to sleep with the enemy, i.e., they're going to have to bring
yeah.
in a white school now.
Yeah.
It seems at times where it helps because, you know, truth be told, Chuan held its own on and off the court in the CIAA.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
then, and, then, and they also
–
well, see, and see, the thing about it is they also appreciated the experience of being part of that because
– Yeah.
Because, see, to piggyback a little bit on the whole thing with Deion – and the guy, you know, the guy who he was, you know, dancing with, his whole thing was he looked down, you know, they, you know, most white folks still look down on HBCUs, whether it be
mm-hmm.
sports or academics. So in their mind's eye, it's like, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, we, you know, we'll listen to their bands or whatever, but we don't want to play
right.
them. I remember they avoided playing them back in the day because they knew that, you know, Coach Rob and Coach Gaper and Big John Merritt and all them guys would whoop that ass. See, they're only gonna go when they know that they're in control.
What do you do? Send them to Michigan, send them to the University of Michigan, Michigan State up north, from schools up north. We ain't gonna play them
hell
boys
no.
down south. Oh
hell
no.
Hell no.
Put William Thor with the famous 10-10 tie with Notre Dame back in the
look. Notre Dame tried to play Army, Navy, Air Force. If they could have put the wax on the schedule, they would have put the
That's
wax
right.
on the schedule as well.
And would have just made them, yes. But think about what it must be like play in a state like Mississippi or Florida where you've got literally on the other side of the tracks the schools. You know, you got Jackson State, Alcorn State, I said Alcorn, forgive me, and Mississippi State on one side of the tracks, and then you got Ole Miss and Mississippi State on the other side of the tracks. You see the SEC, and you see the fact that even if they're also ran, they're getting paid. And then you see the other smaller Mississippi HBCU schools, and you know they're scraping for a damn Big Mac. Now check out Florida with FAMU and Florida State. Now I remember a brother Holmes who played for FAMU, got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was a good linebacker for them for a few years. I also remember how they tried to sweat him to go into Florida State. And when it came down to who he would choose, he said flat out, Mama said, go to FAMU. And he did what Mama told him. And he still got paid regardless. Now, that might be a rare exception now, but we're looking at the economics of all of this. And desperate situations are going to manifest from this, where some schools are going to do things that they probably wouldn't do, and that's why I agree with 20,000%. There will be scandal lure coming out of this because of the money.
Sure. And look, the fact that FAMU is FAMU and Bethune are both in the SWAC, to me it makes them even more of an attractive choice. Because let's face it, FAMU and Bethune have been slinging and binging each other for years. The move, it just enhances, now the Orange Blossom Classic, or is it, I'm sorry, is Orange Blossom Classic the one at the end of the year or is it the one at the beginning of the year? I forget.
I think that's beginning of the year. I think you're right.
Yeah, but they, I'm sorry, it's the Florida Classic with Bethune and FAMU. But they look, that tradition has already been there with Bethune and FAMU. Now they did it under the MEAC banner for years. Now they're going to do it under the SWAC banner now. So it's not going to lose any of its luster. Hell, if anything, it's probably going to gain a few folks. Yeah, just because there's going to be some folks that are in SWAC country.
Someone wants to tell you, with the state of Florida being in flux with COVID-19, and this game is less than a month away, you really think that game is going to go off?
You know what? Let's just see where they're at. I know. Look. The COVID is going to hang over everything like a Damocles sword. But Let's see where we're at in what is it? 2 weeks, basically 3 weeks from now.
You got high school teams playing already. State of Texas and Florida.
Truth be told, these high school football teams play damn near all year now with the AAU influence. But that's a whole other – that's another 2 hour conversation in and of itself. But see, let's put it this way. It's going to be it's literally going to be a game-time decision because, the variant keeps – we keep seeing a little bit more cases as things go on. Now – If it should get to be 0 hour a week before on GP, you know that the black conferences are going to be like, hey, we're going
to
look out for our kids. Now with the white conferences, there are payrolls, emphasis on roles to be met. So they're going to make sure those games will be played by hook or by crook, even if you're only dressing 16 guys. They're gonna be out there, but you're right.
The governor of Florida.
Turn the machines back on. He's not gonna care
about whether or not anybody's healthy. I mean, the attitude towards vaccine and anti-vaccine, whatever fuck, has been made evident. So if the University of Florida, Florida State, Georgia, also issues with their governor. If these motherfuckers tell these kids it's okay to play when people get sick or die, it's not going to be a Britney Spears, oops, my bad, I did it again. No. These should be criminal situations and motherfuckers should be put in jail. The governor of Florida is putting lives at risk. And I didn't want to say it because of the anticipation of the season to come. But I'm fearful that a tragedy will end up in Florida because
it's already happened, buddy.
It did? Speak on that.
Look, you have people dying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this idiot in Florida will not Giants.
Okay.
Michael, you have three governors. Who refuse to listen to anybody but themselves.
Okay.
These three governors about the O.J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The O.J. Trump said, follow the money.
you.
Here we are. It's in August. Football season great start.
Yep.
For all these people in a one stadium, are you crazy?
Mike, mm-hmm. there's money out. There's money to be made, but it's probably going to be with cemetery plots.
Yeah, no joke. It would be like this. It's a good one. It's a good one.
It was so bad in Italy. They couldn't buy coffins fast enough to get people in them.
Mike, they make the mayor from Jaws look like fucking Einstein at this point in time.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not forget that poster. Help, shot. Oh. But before we do that, Gary, give us a preview of the Cove or whether there will be a Cove or not. Because you know you got some stuff to do.
It will not be a Cove until September.
Okay, so Cove is on my list.
You lazy good for nothing.
Lazy boy only got two jobs.
I'm protesting
until
the Cove comes back.
could you sneak little Anthony and the Imperials in on there? Cause, you know,
and Gary, you think you can give me a little Smokey Robinson when he's smoking a cigarette in there, bro?
Now we're abusing the disabled part there. Little Anthony was pushing it because I was just feeling sorry for the dwarfs of the world, but that's a whole other story.
Speaking of being dwarfed, I didn't get to see much of Pittsburgh and Dallas, but how much hype was
it was the best TV. Comedy show on TV.
Wow. It was like that, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Mike Tomlin said, you know, Cowboy fans, we're going to give you a little carrot, then we're going to snatch it from you, then we're going to whoop that ass.
That's right.
Hey,
that's
look, they had two European quarterbacks. Look like they should be playing in Sandlot. That was the most disgusting performance I've seen by two backup quarterbacks.
But here's the thing. See, remember,
but that's
it's
Jerry.
Only three. So you got to remember, it's only three exhibition games this year. So they got to play these guys and see what they got. I mean, look, it's not like Dak's gonna lose his job. You know, Dak. You know. Although apparently he has a mild injury, but I think a lot of it comes from slapping the shit out of Jerry. But that's a whole other story in and of itself.
But
these games are going to be unwatchable in the sense of they're going to be, you know, this is the only opportunity that they're going to get a chance to see these guys. I forget, one of the coaches has already said, the super genius out in L.A. has basically said, oh, no, Master Shepard ain't playing no preseason games this year.
The
and I'm going to be like, come week three, I don't want to hear a damn word out of McVay's mouth when the real Master Shepard shows up.
You know that. You know that, but the NFL ain't worried about it. The NFL And yeah. this is why I say
Isn't it interesting how Josh Allen got that $200 million contract, the racism stuff, and he scrubbed his account? And, oh, by the way, he's making $150 million guaranteed. But he's with the right franchise, the Buffalo Racers franchise.
All that is the Bryce Harper factor. Buffalo has a white quarterback that might be able to play a little bit. So they would gladly overpay for the white guy instead of the efficient black guy. So Josh Allen is going to give money, and they'll never say they spent too much money.
Mike, it's clearly the wimpy factor. They're willing to pay him Tuesday for them interceptions he's going to throw on Sunday. That's all.
That's right. Well, that's true. Listen,
especially playing in front of a live crowd. He ain't playing in front of a live crowd yet.
He's playing to their crowd. Oh, yeah, you know, let's go, Buffalo. Yeah, let's go lose, motherfuckers, because you ain't going to win no championship with that bitch.
Bunch of race
you'll win games and you'll get teased, but I'll give him this. He'll win more games than that non-playing iceberg lettuce motherfucker Matthew Stafford will in Los Angeles. Doesn't matter that he's moved from Detroit to L.A. He's still in shit. And because of
Thank you, Mike. You followed through with it. I love it. He followed through with the same
level of mediocrity in Los Angeles
than
he would in Detroit, because he still has lost 12 more games than he's actually won, and he's been a starter for 11 motherfucking seasons. Do you think a brother would have the opportunity to have that many years?
We'll see what happens to Deshaun Watson in Texas.
We don't know if it's going to be Texas or not, though. That's the only thing.
I don't know if it's going to be Texas, Reggie. I have a feeling he may be coming to my Uber. I'll accept him gladly. But the long and short of this is,
if they don't come down for them, then
shame on their asses, because he knows his shit got to be cleaner than clean. You know,
got that right.
You need to know. If you don't have an agent that can pull your coat to that, because you're too stupid to understand it yourself, or you ain't got family around you that can tell you that shit, sad on your ass.
Yeah.
The NFL won't care. They'll be too busy making money, and you'll be sitting on a fucking bench riding the pine.
Speaking of that, you know, I meant to watch the game a little bit to try to catch Hawkins for Pittsburgh. Haskins. I'm hoping that, you know, now that he's, you know, had a year to absorb everything or what have you, I think going to Pittsburgh may wind up being the saving of his career, because everybody's favorite.
Right time to put his neck out. Hey, look, they got two brothers as a backup quarterback in Pittsburgh. I couldn't believe it.
They have to be ready, because when Grandpa the rapist finally does retire, they gotta make sure they have the continuity.
Grandpa rapist is right. Fuck Rafa's pervert. Yes, indeedy. And Dobbs is an intelligent brother, who also happens to be a quarterback. So between him and Haskins, I truly believe they will get the job done. So the sooner he retires, the better. I'll never forget the fact that when the incident happened and Roethlisberger was fucking around with that woman in the bathroom, that the cracker-ass sheriff, when he would say, oh, some woman's coming down here and she's trying to mess with old Ben. He like, you motherfucker, here's a woman being sexually molested, harassed, and you going to run interference for them? Because remember, there was a camera in the bar, and all of a sudden, the tape disappeared. They said they taped over it. Now, you know, there's got to be one or the other, but the whole point was they didn't want to look out for this woman who had been sexually molested by this cocksucker. So we know his years are running to an end. His ass will be gone soon. And Pittsburgh will have to get over its own racism. I mean, the fact that Tomlin has been there long isn't because Pittsburgh loves him. It's because Pittsburgh can't make an argument to get his black ass out of there because he's won every motherfucking season he's been the head coach.
Yep.
Dude,
absolutely.
You're going to need some cracker like Howard spitting in people's faces. Please. That's supposed to be coaching. That brother has done more with less, and he's barely 50. So if he coaches another 10 years, he may theoretically have enough wins. If he coaches similar to his father, he may have enough wins to challenge the top coaches ever. And then what you going to say as to whether or not black people are capable of coaching? See?
Uh-huh.
All of this is bullshit. And I'm just waiting to see how this all is going to play out as we get into the next season of the sweatshop, the National Football League. You will work more often. You will definitely be up against it. If you ain't coming to camp in shape, you can't play the season to work it out. There will be more injuries, not because I want more injuries, but because of the traveling and because of the short reaction times that your body's going to have to heal itself before you play the next game. Even with additional breaks, you'll be worn down by travel. And these factors are what the players are going to have to understand if they're going to survive this season. Because if they don't, it don't matter what you're making. The money won't mean shit if your health is in question. If you're running into X number of concussions a fucking game, what is it going to do? Buy you a nicer hospital bed? Fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So your wife is gone? Scary. It's just fucking scary.
Yeah.
I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel except for a fucking tree.
Yeah, and see that other side of it, because while there's going to be intriguing stories, the biggest one, most of the biggest ones are going to be the ones in the off season and off the field in a sense. So.
Mm-hmm. But I like it that you had to say about the Josh Allen contract, because that's important. We've seen brothers get big money. You saw Russell Wilson get his money. You saw a couple of others. And now this white boy Allen comes into the mix. And Buffalo is willing to empty the fucking bank for him because they think he's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah. Well, Mike, you know who's next on the food chain?
Same quarterback in Baltimore.
No. He's already got his money. That fool in Cleveland.
That's right. So they'll overpay for Mayfield. They'll overpay like they just did for Allen, because those white football bitches want to stay white.
He's going to re-up.
Yeah, and Cleveland won their first playoff game, et cetera, et cetera. So he's going to get his money. I'm not worried about that because I know Baker Mayfield ain't shit. You know, just like I know Josh Allen ain't shit. But their white fan bases won't care. They'll be too busy wrapping themselves up in their whiteness. And I saw this for real with the Bryce Harper contract. Now, I think Bryce Harper is a decent cat. You know, I think he understands he wants to see baseball evolve, but he got paid because he's white. Those people are wearing number 3 jerseys in Philadelphia because he's white. When Ron Howard got his money, in spite of the fact that he was arguably the best player in baseball for at least 3 years, as soon as his numbers came down, that nigga, he paid too much money for that nigga. Ain't nobody said he paid too much money for Bryce Harper. And ain't nobody going to say they paid too much money for Josh Allen in Buffalo. Oh, he's our guy. Bills Mafia, blah, 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 blah. Well, fuck you. And fuck Bills Mafia, too. Because the long and short of it is, you wanted to see a whiteness reflected in the team. If, let's just say for argument's sake, Watson was picked up by Buffalo. Do you truly think they're going to get behind Harper in Buffalo? Mm-hmm. Or in Cleveland? Or in Sweeney Watson? Or in mm-hmm. Cleveland? No. Give up.
They've already drawn the line in the sand as to who they want.
Exactly. So as we ponder these last
and Mike, real quick, you had yes. a gay guy with the Raiders and saying, okay, next story, didn't even move the needle. You said, so what?
Well, you're right.
That's nothing new.
Reggie, I like your foresight because that's right. There was a player, Nasir. I think his last name is Nasir. So I believe he's Southeast Asian. Came out and said, oh, by the way, y'all, we gay. You know, it was like no big deal, no drama, because he didn't come off like some fucking flamer like Michael Sam did. Sam wanted his gayness exploited. He willingly allowed that fucking cow, Oprah Winfrey, actually that's an insult to cows, I'm sorry, cows. Oprah Winfrey went out there trying to work his... tried to work that shit.
LeBron James in line three.
Yeah, well, he should have been worried about playing football because now he's out of the mix. And I got to think that if he saw that article that you just saw, that you just mentioned, Reggie, about NASA saying, oh, yeah, okay, I'm there, y'all. You know, guy's been a player in the league for 7 years, has decent numbers on the D-line, and they're leaving him to go on about his business. Sam comes in, moist as a motherfucking Duncan Hines cake, because he's kissing his lover on national television the third day of the draft. He could have just hugged him and it would have been cool. He had to kiss
him. What do you say, moist as a Duncan Hines cake?
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I know who's watching Sisters, man. I thought Sisters came on Wednesday. I know who's watching Sisters.
Well, I'm telling you, he fucked up his own situation out of stupidity, and Oprah Winfrey indirectly killed another black man's career because she was going to talk about putting him in a reality-based show and all this other old shit. She forgot this motherfucker was going to make the team. Even when they thought they could keep him, they let him go. They didn't want the hassle. They didn't want the hassle. And then when he got to Dallas... He don't want the hassle. Dallas is in the last bastion of male show. Well, hold on. Dallas is in the last bastion of male show. Yes. You know, do you think the Cowboys want their starting linebacker to be a fucking queer? Hell to no. Hell's bells, man. This is football. You ain't supposed to be gay. That's the mindset.
And basically, just keep that shit to yourself.
That's right. Shit. When Jerry Smith was playing for Washington, and it came out that he had AIDS, you know, nobody said nothing. I mean it. Nobody said nothing. Had he been black. They'd have talked about all the ass he got and whose dick he sucked and all kinds of stuff.
Just say Magic Johnson. That's all you need to say. Magic Johnson. How they did Magic.
Come on. You saw how he went after him. So we know these double standards don't go away. The stakes are higher, and the higher the price, the nicer the nice. You know somewhere karma's going to have to come around.
Absolutely.
We haven't even factored COVID-19 in yet. They've been lucky.
Yep.
The league's been lucky. Actually, the broadcast of this Olympics, they've been lucky. Because there hasn't been situations, I say in plural,
The key is going to be when these folks get back to their respective homes. That's when we'll get an idea of what's going on. But we haven't even gotten into the NFL factor of the vaxxers versus the non-vaxxers. So
yeah, to vax or not to vax? Shit, one question. And they're going to have to answer that question because they'll need to know if Reggie, playing linebacker for Washington, is going to be healthy. If he's the starting linebacker and the leading tackler, it's going to matter. It's going to matter not just to the so-called fans, it's going to matter to the betters. Mm-hmm. And just as this little late bit of news is coming in, they're listing of the top sports franchises. The motherfucking Dallas Cowboys are now worth $6.5 billion.
That's a crying shame.
So much
is saying they pull.
And Washington
is
fifth. And no, seriously, they're fifth. And the only reason I'm bringing them up is because we know Daniel Snyder paid $800 million for Washington. Right now, Washington's football team, good or bad, is worth $4.5 billion. So
and
even
Mike,
with
when
an investment,
they,
even
what,
with
what,
an investment of $800 million, Daniel Snyder has made 500% on his investment. Think about that.
And remember, they still have a name change to deal with. Yeah. I would not be surprised if next year this time we hear about them being number one on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit, or at the very least, number two, moving up from five.
Oh shit!
Isn't that amazing though that they're number five and they literally?
Yeah.
Well, now see. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that a lot of people, knowing that the name's changing, they're buying up all the old Redskin merchandise.
They're getting a bump because they're buying all the old shit. Yeah.
And while they do it, make sure they have them tiki torches when they're buying it too.
Yeah. Well, see, the sad thing is you got some other brothers that are out there and sisters that are buying
them. Oh, don't even talk about it, man. They will fight you tooth and dog about that name.
Yeah.
It is, man. Like a great philosopher once told me, some of us like to serve our masters very well. I wonder who said that, T-Mac. Yeah, you're right.
some loudmouth fat ass, probably.
Jason Whitlock didn't say it.
Schmuck, that
is.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Loudmouth, that is.
Yeah.
Schmuck.
Schmuck. All right, gentlemen. One more thing before we go to final thoughts. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey. Which sport has survived the best out of all of this thus far?
Depends on your definition of survive. What's your definition of surviving?
Well, they've been able to go forward. They've been able to profit from it. They've been able to get their visibility back up because people are watching them. So, yeah, in those terms, who has been the best survivor?
NFL.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
NFL. I mean, now... you know, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of this baseball season plays out, especially now that Toronto is back home. But you're asking me right now, especially heading into the season, I'm going to guess that they had decent ratings the other night for the exhibition game. But yeah, it's the NFL. They made sure, hey, this is the first year where we saw NFL football played on every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it the point they was going to get a season by hook or by crook. Now they've already rescinded and said, you know, we ain't going to do that again. But they're saying that now. But I think if the variant hits the way we think it is, they may have to rethink that if they want to get the biggest season ever to be successful.
Exactly. Yeah.
NFL did it with the help of FanDuel. We know NFL and college football are the two of the most important things when it comes to betting.
I'm glad you said that because you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had
yeah.
a willing partner in FanDuel and what was the other one? You know what I'm talking about. DraftKings. So
mm-hmm.
they had willing partners in that. And because of that, New Jersey and Pennsylvania allowed gaming. Now, gambling and gaming are two different things. See,
yeah.
you can have gambling and go to Atlantic City or whatever and play the slots.
Mm-hmm.
So you can now go to Sugar House and do the same thing. But gaming is an entirely different thing. Gaming and gambling mean that you can be in the parlor and bet on single games.
That's why I'm rather
Harry
Snyder has a problem. If Maryland don't get together, Virginia's going to rape them like a rapist, like Donald Trump at a beauty pageant. They got to get together because guys going to Virginia to bet. And guess what? The first home game, the Washington football team, has a lot of money Snyder going to lose.
You know
what? That's why we'll see. He may take a hit, but you know what? The minute they bring their new name out, they'll probably make it all right back, Reg. They'll probably make it all right back. And I wouldn't be surprised if right after that, then he sells the team. And then he winds up making 1,000% on his
team. He can be like Donald Sterling, huh? He's going to do a Sterling move. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amazon wants to get into the NFL. He can dash it or buy it.
Well, you know, what? Once he comes back from Saturn, maybe they'll talk to him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But let that thing marinate.
Yeah.
That Daniel Snyder paid $800 million to Washington in less than a generation. Well, actually, it's a little bit more. But his investment increased 500% when Forbes announced.
He bought them right after they won their last Super Bowl, didn't he?
Right.
That was 91? So,
In 30 years, he made 500% on his initial investment, and the Washington football team is worth more than $4 billion, with more to come with the name change and the speculators and the other buzzards that will swoop down and pick up whatever carrion is laying on the floor that's got Washington's name on it, and the value will jump up again.
Mm.
That bump by itself would be probably maybe $500 million alone. And when NFL properties starts to make stuff with the new team's name, et cetera, More money. Can't get mad at it, but you better understand it.
And remember, we haven't even factored in the TV money and the season ticket holders money. Because see, this is the first year of the new TV contract. Am I correct, or is it next year?
No, that's what Tom Brady was so pissed off about.
This is the
TV contract.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I stand corrected. They review in 22.
That's right.
22 is the. Right. So having said that, final thoughts, gentlemen, Reggie?
Wow. I just have to say that it's amazing how Biden thought it was a fucking joke when the reporter asked him about what the governor, the criminal down in Florida said. He said, Who's that? He's up here clowning. A lot of people are dying. We got a lot of schools right here having problems. And he thinks it's fucking funny. I don't see a damn thing funny about it. That's why Democrats are playing checkers. Republicans are playing chess and ready to make a hostile takeover to turn back the clock on our democracy. Just keeping it 100.
They're playing Chinese checkers.
Chinese checkers. T-Mac?
Yeah, I know they're out of first place. You want to fight about it? Huh? What?
I'm waiting for them to talk to come.
You know what? I am worried because this score and a half to run a game shit is it ain't gonna do it. It ain't gonna cut it. And it's not like the Phillies are this juggernaut, because if you wait long enough, their bullpen will give you you hang out long enough, the bullpen will give you the damn game.
You got that shit right. The bullpen is the teetotalers, for real, no doubt.
Well, and see, the let's put it this way, and I hope I'm wrong. I don't think we're gonna see Mr. DeGrom the rest of this year. I just have a sneaky suspicion that you're not gonna see him the rest of the year.
Wow.
I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But the way this thing keeps playing out, I put it this way: there's a better chance of them unretiring Jerry Kuzma's number and putting him on the active roster than seeing DeGrom at this point in time right now.
Yep. Well, gentlemen, I have to say this. I thank you for your input, as always, fam. But there's something really seedy underneath all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You put all kinds of lines about loyalty and the lack of it, the venal nature of the press and how vindictive and venal they've been towards athletes, some by order. Because some of the things they think about definitely go against the whole premise of who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how. And at the heart of all of this isn't so much hatred of the athletes, resentment of the athletes, but the fucking greed of the people that are behind all of this. Mm. You know, NBC can make whatever excuses they want as long as the numbers are favorable to them in terms of revenue gain. The football fields on Sunday ain't going to matter as much as the sport betting windows, wherever they may be, in whatever state they may be located in.
Yeah.
And because of that, we know that there is a smoke-filled room somewhere with a collective bunch of motherfuckers all saying, as they raise their glasses, here's the fucking crime. Let's see you Sunday with the music there, be mine.
Gotta get my buddy, cause I gotta get made when you made. crew that would entertain Paulie Gaga if he ever knew. To me, he's the best, to that I will attest. Came up from the streets and I know he wears the crest. Don is a Don, regardless what it is he does. So DeVito's the boss, cause it's because.
Man,
is this girl I know all of my life. I wouldn't call her a slut, but still she's far from a wife. When I was a kid on Delancey Street, I knew she'd be Gumata bringing drama to somebody's crew. Sexy and smart, her name is Gabrielle. A whip of her perfume, you see your members smell. Girl got it all, but still she's well adjusted. Word has it she's the only one that Don's trusted. She's not just a mall like us, she's on call. With all Gabrielle is, even a Don might.
Gotta get my money, cause I gotta get paid when you're paid. Get a man when you're not, you're just nothing. Gotta get my money, cause I gotta